Isaiah chapter 7, starting in verse 10. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." And then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin will be with a child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey when he knows enough to reject wrong and choose right. But before the boy knows enough to reject wrong and choose right, in the land of the two kings, you dread will be laid to waste. And the Lord will bring on you and your people and the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria." Another prophecy spoken by Isaiah concerning the coming of Emmanuel, God with us. Now, if you don't know, Ahaz was the 11th king of Judah, the kingdom of Judah. And Ahaz was a king that never really figured out how to be fully faithful to God. He allowed foreign idols into the land, allowed foreign temples into God's people's land. He was constantly at war, constantly fearing what was going to happen to him, and never figured out how to truly obey God. Ahaz wasn't an overly evil king, but he was a king, perhaps like most of us, a king who had let his priorities slip. God was not first in his rule or in his own private life. Ahab had just affirmed and just spoke of in previous passage in Isaiah that there were kingdoms, two different kingdoms that were seeking to overthrow Judah. And God says to Ahaz, simply, "Ask for a sign." In other words, just ask me once, God says, and I will show you that I'm here. Ask me, and I will do anything from the highest heights to the lowest depths. If you ask, I'll show you I'm here. In fact, God declares that he would do anything to show him. And Ahaz, his heart was hardened. I don't think he knew how to hear from God. He didn't even know how to really pray to God. He didn't even know what it meant to look for a sign from God. In fact, his life was so filled with doubt that he was lost. Ahaz was living out what Isaiah had said just a chapter before, when Isaiah prophesied over the people of Judah, "Be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of his people calloused, make their ears dull and their eyes closed. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." Ahaz couldn't turn and be healed, because in fact his heart was hardened. And for many reasons, he didn't ask God for that sign. Instead, Ahaz chose to simply say, "I won't test God," as if God himself would ask Ahaz to show him a sign and then turn around and destroy him for doing exactly what God had asked. No, that's not the kind of God that we serve. And Ahaz's inability to understand that God was saying, "I'm with you. If you would just ask me, I'm here," But he couldn't. Perhaps a reflection on some of our own weaknesses at times. When we live in those places in our own lives that we can't ask God to show us he's here. Our faith falters. But then in verse 13, this is when Isaiah proclaims, and it's God proclaiming really, "Hear now, house of David, you've tried the patience of humans, now you will try the patience of God." Regardless of your inability to ask, God says, "I will still give you a sign." The power of this moment for us at Christmas is that you and I, at different times in our life, maybe not today, but at different times in our life, we have lived out the lack of priorities of Ahaz. We have failed to be able to ask God for a sign because either we are trying to do things in our own power or we have completely lost faith and hope in who God is. And so we don't ask for a sign. Why ask for something that we know we won't receive? Why ask for something if I have to wait? I can just do it now myself. Why ask? Ahaz says. I'm not going to test God. Not because he was afraid of God, but because he didn't really think that that God would follow through with the test. And yet this is God's statement. Regardless, I will give you a sign. Do you realize the power of that? That in the midst of our doubt, God is bigger than our doubt. In the midst of our frustration, our lack of priorities, in the midst of the space when we can't ask God or won't ask God for a sign, it is irrelevant to God. God does not live by our mental, emotional, spiritual state. God is God regardless of what we have the capacity to do. I will give you a sign. A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and call him Emmanuel. This is the sign that is going to be harder for anyone to believe. And perhaps a sign, if we're going to be honest, a sign that if Ahaz would have asked for something else, I think God would have given him anything he asked. But instead, God says, "You know what? I'm going to give you a sign. But this sign is going to be hard for you to determine because it's going to be hard for you to find. This isn't a sign in the heavens. This isn't a sign in the earth. This is a sign of a woman giving birth to a child. And when this birth happens, this child will be called God with us, Emmanuel, God with us. You can't ask for a sign because your soul and your faith is weak. But I will give you a sign," God says. "And when I do, the name of that sign will be, I am with you." The power of Christmas is that the sign of God, in spite of our weakness, is that he is with us. Now, who has a God more tenacious than ours? Who has a God who sticks with us even when we fail him? Who has a God who cares more deeply for you than you do for yourself? Who has a God who, in the midst of our failing and in the midst of our lack of prioritizing, will remind us that he is in fact with us? Emmanuel, the promise of Christmas. Even when our ears are blind, when our eyes or our ears are stopped up and deaf, when our eyes are blind, when our stubbornness and our sinfulness creates a state of denial, God is already working for us. This sign, Emmanuel, will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. This child will know exactly what we do not know. We, as mature people who should be able to ask God for a sign, don't, because we don't know what's right. And this sign, this child, will know what's right before he's even off soft food, curds and honey. Before he's even eating meat, this child will know what's right and what's wrong. And from that point on, God will protect us. Now for Ahaz, remember, we've talked about the work that prophecy does. This prophecy was for Ahaz, that God would protect and in fact did protect Judah. And in fact, there was a remnant of Judah that survived. And Judah did become that people through Christ, and that remnant survived. So in fact, God was promising something to Ahaz that Ahaz may have not seen, but the people of Judah would know. But God was also promising something to you and I today. The end of that prophecy did not come at the birth of Christ. That was the beginning of the prophecy. You and I too may now live into that prophecy and receive the gift of Emmanuel. Who among us, like Ahaz, has been told by God over and over to ask for a sign? My question is, will you now ask for a sign? Why don't we ask God to show us, to prove to us that he's there? I thought about this week as I was preparing. I think one of the reasons that we don't ask God is because we doubt. If we say, God, please show me that you are there. Give me a sign. And it doesn't happen, then we know that it will rock us to our core. Why ask for something and risk? And so we just don't ask for the sign because our faith is not strong enough. Sometimes I don't think we ask for the sign because we're too busy doing it ourselves. Why do I need to ask for a sign if I've already got the path already planned out? I know where I'm going, Lord. I've got this. Right? I think that was Ahaz's primary thing. Is he already figured out how to rule the nation? He knew how to lead Judah. It was all wrong. The priorities were messed up. He wasn't focusing on what God wanted him to focus on. And in fact, over and over, he was allowing things to seep into his life and the life of the nation that destroyed their faith. But he couldn't see that because he was in control. He had charge. Sometimes I don't think we ask for a sign from God because we're afraid that when the sign comes, we'll realize that we actually are the helpless child that sometimes we don't want to be. That we actually are governed by and loved by a God that is so awesome and fearful and powerful that we stumble at the reality of who God is. I can speculate all day long, but only you know the reason you've not asked for a sign. Only you know those things in your heart that let you go only so far in your trust with God, and you don't go as far as to ask for the sign. Christmas is a bold reminder that even if you can't ask for the sign, God has already sent it. Christmas is a bold reminder that in the midst of your weakness, Christ has already come. That in the midst of your inability to ask for that sign, God has already given it. In the midst of Christmas shopping, in the midst of family chaos, in the midst of worrying about what to cook, in the midst of worrying about who will get into an argument over what at dinner, in the midst of all of those things that we all know occupy our thoughts and minds, hear this and hear this now. The reason we celebrate Christmas is itself a sign that God is with us. And it doesn't matter how much commercialism clouds that vision. It doesn't matter how much we worry about the arguments that'll happen at dinner. It doesn't matter how much, as I think about this year, that my family's going to be in multiple different places for Christmas this year. And this is the first year that's happened. It doesn't matter. Everything comes down to this. The fact that we have this tree in the room, the fact that we will gather on Christmas Eve, is the reality that God has already given us a sign. He is with us. And nothing can shake that sign. Even if you're too weak to ask for it, God has already given it to you. Open your eyes today. God has given us this sign. But instead of it being, as Calvin Miller talks about in his beautiful poem called The Singer, if you've never read it, you should read it. It's long, but it's absolutely beautiful. And Calvin Miller captures this moment, and it's one of my favorite lines in the poem. When Christ comes to his heavenly Father, and God says, "Give me your vast infinity, my son, and I'll wrap it in a bit of clay, and I will place it in earth's tiniest town. And from that moment, God takes one child and one mother and creates a sign that brought ripples into 2019. God has already given you a sign. What will you do with that? May it be a reminder of faith and hope and love. Faith in God, hope for our futures, and a God who loves us more than we could ever love ourselves. Christmas is the sign we need." Let us pray. Lord, as we go from this place, I ask you, as we see all of the Christmas decorations and the shopping and the chaos and everything that goes on around us, as our streets are filled with FedEx and UPS and Amazon trucks, as our families gather and as houses are filled with the smell of food, may we have each one of those things be a reminder to us that you have given us a sign that you are with us, Emmanuel. And may we live into that sign this Christmas season. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God has given us a sign. Amen.